Good Packer Nation morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, and rookie orientation has been concluded. Got a chance to look through some of the interviews. I am impressed more and more, and it almost makes me a little bit nervous. You can comment on it if you wish, how important this rookie class is going to be and how many of these players I think are going to have significant influence on the way the Packers season turns out in 2017, that are going to be called upon as often as I think they are. But right now, let me know who you are, where you're coming at me from. Yesterday, we had some technical difficulties. I don't know why. It looks like it's working okay now, and everything is testing out fine. So my system is working, up and running. It was yesterday as well. But let me know who you are, where you're coming at me from, because I am not seeing anybody in the comments, and that was one of the things they had. There might be an issue with maybe Facebook was switching something over. I don't know. There's Joe. Good to see you. From Connecticut, checking in. Got to keep it on the highway up there, on the Green Bay Packer highway up there, probably in Patriots territory. Steve is here. A lot of rookies will play. Let's just wait to see them play in real games. Yeah, exactly. Of course, we got to talk about him anyway. I'm excited about it, but I'm a little bit also nervous. Juan is here. Good to see you. And you know, we knew this. We predicted this. We talked about it. How many rookies the Packers tend to have on the field. This can be kind of a two-edged sword. Nick is here. Nelson is here. Good to see you, man. Says hi to Packer Nation, by the way. You know, you just start going down the list, and obviously at the top of the list, Kevin King. We picked him up first pick of the second round, which I think is just awesome. And you expect him to contribute. Jessica's here from North Carolina. Good to see you. Andrew's here as well. Good morning. Kevin King, you know, comes into rookie orientation, and from everything I see, he looks exactly like as advertised. AJ's here. And that's a critical position for us. We talked about that too. Are we having more problems again? Anybody having trouble seeing me again? Yesterday we did. You know, everything's testing out. It's running really good here. About twice as fast. We're downloading it twice as fast as I was all the other time. Josh says freezing again. Man, this sucks. If this is the case, I am going to have to get off of here and go and talk to Charter again. So, and again, AJ, some people are having a problem, some people aren't. I'll tell you, Charter has been all weekend. There were at least two trucks in the neighborhood, and I'm not sure what's going on, but I'll go ahead and probably close it up now, do some testing. AJ is not having a problem. This is the real issue, guys, is when, you know, I know I'm running good here. I'm running better than I ever have before, and there's only one device running as well, so hard to deal with. All right, Brandon, I want to talk about undrafted free agents too, but Joe is good. And it's frustrating when some people are having no problem. I know I'm good here. And other people, I know it's a frustrating situation, especially when the feed is freezing for you guys. Ryan says good morning to everybody. But top to bottom, I think this draft class in particular, and I actually think the rookie class this year, oh, AJ wants to talk about Jamal Williams. Oh, yeah, we'll get to him. Is going to be a huge part of the success and or the other side of that for the Green Bay Packers in 2017. I mean, I think more than other draft classes we've seen, because we saw a lot of veterans leave. We saw a lot more veteran free agents that did not get signed, did not come back. So there's your cornerback. Well, we did bring in Devon House. But Micah Hyde is gone. On the offensive side, you know, we have Ty Montgomery as a veteran presence, but we had no depth. And then we cleaned house. I mean, we've turned over the running back position. And did anybody see the Jamal Williams interviews on Packers.com? I love that kid right now. Put up a heart if you saw it. I think this guy is freaking awesome. He's got a smile like Donald Driver. He's got a personality. He's excited to be there. He is And he's going to be a good player. He's going to be a necessary player for us, especially in December. And now I got people ready to jump ship because they can't see the feed, and I am getting kind of, frankly, PO'd. I'm just getting a little TO'd about Charter. AJ thinks Jamal's going to be a superstar. And, I like that. He's not afraid to get out there and say, listen, I am excited to be here. I still need to be a professional. He's kind of, to me, he's a little bit, you know how, what I liked about Chris and Michael was sort of his enthusiasm and energy, but he couldn't seem to absorb the playbook. So what I like about Williams is he is ready to be a professional, but when they get him in the, he just is such a great, great personality. Sarah's asking about a personal Facebook page. I do have. You can request me just my name, Brady Augustine, facebook.com/Brady Augustine. You'll probably find me. You'll see my ugly mug. But I think Jamal Williams is going to be, I'm expecting him to be our, he's going to be the one that marches on the field for first down, second down, I expect. Because that's the only part of Ty Montgomery that I think is in question. And Ty Montgomery, I think, is going to get plenty of reps. But and it may be that Jamal Williams ends up being considered the starter, but I don't care. Because I want him to use these guys the way they need to be used. And Williams is that kind of bruiser. That, you know, he's the Eddie Lacy 2.1 to me. We need that in December in particular. But, you know, Ty Montgomery gets out there, and the way they can deploy him on the field is so much more versatile than your traditional running back. And Andrew's asking about their pass catching ability, and that is, that's one, if you look across the board, that's really, I think, kind of the one question mark, I think, that remains. And you can't, and it's like the comment from earlier, until they get on the field and get put into that situation, especially with just a rookie orientation, you can't tell anything anyway. Hardly. You basically can get a look at these guys. These guys look as advertised. That's about all that I get out of a rookie orientation. I think Hill is it that may be the guy that, you know, we're a little more confident in terms of the passing game. But again, as long as we've got Ty Montgomery, there's opportunity for these guys. Of course, the running backs, when they talked to him, they said, no, I can catch. It's not a problem at all. But that's where those preseason games become critical. Training camp, of course, is critical as well. But that's more of them learning the system, getting acclimated to the Packers team. It's going to be the preseason game, which, again, I keep hearing every year. I hear somebody's got to go out there and say how meaningless preseason games are. Ask, you know, Williams if they're meaningless to him, you know. Ask Hill, ask Mays. They're the most meaningful games of the entire training camp and off season for these guys. I think as far as pass catching, I think we're going to be fine. I think these, you know, it's not like you can just, if you can't catch in college, you're going to suddenly learn how to in the NFL. But I don't think that's the case with these guys. I think the case is these guys were not called upon to catch the ball out of the backfield that often. I think, was it Williams? Was it Williams that had like two catches out of the backfield last year? Well, you can't make a judgment on that. When they go to training camp, I'm sure there are going to be some drops. But however, I will say this. I think these three guys, their ability to catch out of the backfield may very well, and that kind of versatility that they have to show, may very well be sort of the difference between somebody that we end up, you know, that ends up getting playing time and ends up kind of watching from the sidelines. To me, the most important thing that I want to see out of these guys is how can they do in pass protection. Now, admittedly, Ty Montgomery will probably be on the field in obvious passing downs, I would expect, all through the 2017 season. But if these guys want to survive, these running backs that want to survive on a Packers roster have to be able to be solid in pass protection and know their assignments. I think that's the underlying reason Christian Michael got let go. I don't think there was a lot of talk about, we saw him in the Seahawks game where he basically missed an assignment, didn't know where he was supposed to be. And I think, you know, If you're a running back and you've got a guy like Christian Michael, you might be willing as a coach to work with him on that, especially through the offseason. But if you're afraid that he's going to miss an assignment like that in on a passing down, you just can't. I mean, your entire franchise could go down the crapper, frankly, in one play. And I think that might be the underlying reason that Michael, they just decided to go ahead and clean house, bring in these new guys. And I'm excited about this bunch. And Andrew's asking if any of the receivers could switch to running back. Yeah, I hope we don't need to do that again. I said, if I had one question to ask Mike McCarthy about last year, I would ask him, is there a sense in which it was serendipitous that you had both of your starting and your backup, both of your starters, really, your interchangeable guys in Starks and Lacy go down at the same time? So I don't think we would be, what would be the fallout, if we didn't know that Ty Montgomery could play the position? We may have went ahead and paid Eddie Lacy, which some would have liked, but with his medical issue and his weight issue. And Josh is asking me to fix it. It is not my problem, Josh. I apologize. That's all I can do is keep rolling. It has nothing to do with my system. My upload speed is more than competent, and I have exactly the same system, and I tested it 2 seconds before I went on. So, and I've been on the phone with Charter, slapping them back and forth for about 2 weeks now, and I will probably be doing that again. And when it's working for some of you, that basically tells you, what's going on. It's either if you're sure of your side, it may be in between, or it may be yours. I guarantee it's not mine. So, all right. And it's working for Tom. So that's good. Tom, I hope you're having a good day. Josh, I hope you can get the feed going. I hope Charter gets the feed going for all of us in here. And Virginia, Facebook, sometimes the notifications, I don't know. I've literally had friends show me that their notifications were on. And thanks, Scott. I appreciate that. So I'm going to keep going as if nothing's wrong. I want to reply because I want everybody to understand. I have done my due diligence, including calling Charter 3 times and not in no uncertain terms letting them know that I need this fixed. I know that they've been working on it as well, which is, I'm sure it's frustrating to them. They're getting, 50 million of these calls. So, all right, we're going to move on. All right. Yeah, so we start at the top of the order, and Kevin King, he's the guy that, realistically, I think it is realistic. It is still early. I understand all that, but I do think it's realistic to consider him a possible day one starter. For crying out loud, the guy, 6'3" and a hair. Of course, we've had the questions, does he need to add some weight? And I think that's one thing. Number one, I trust the training staff to go ahead and evaluate him on that. But at 6'3" plus, he's going to look lanky no matter what. And I think when you're playing the cornerback position, yes, it's great if they're strong. I don't want him to sacrifice any speed. And I think that, I think this guy is, I got to think that this guy becomes the replacement for Sam Shields. And if you take the Sam Shields injury out of the equation, I think our game against the Falcons and I think our defensive backfield overall takes a massive step up, especially in terms of who we can rotate in with for the injured players. So to have a really big, really fast guy, and this guy is not just a straight line runner. That's one thing we need to understand. This guy is a guy that plays fast and tests fast. And when you put those two things together, and then you put him in the room with Joe Witt Jr., I see good things on the horizon. And Joe Witt is not the kind of coach that is going to shy away from putting a rookie on the field. Guys, we've seen it. And frankly, I it's interesting to me, as much as I would like and prefer to have, veterans be able to groom up and have this draft and develop model, which is what we call it. And what we actually sometimes do is draft and destroy. We draft a guy and somebody gets injured and he's got to be out on the field from day one. And that can be a big problem. And especially if a rookie starts to develop bad habits, because if they get bad habits, if you don't work all the bad habits out first, it's much more difficult to get them out later on after they've developed a bad habit. But at the same time, one of the other side of the coin is we have as much experience as anybody in the league at taking these rookies, getting them ready as they can be. And of course, a lot depends on them, their readiness to be an NFL player. But we are as good as it gets, I would say. I would say the other thing we have an advantage is a guy like the next pick. So why not talk about Josh Jones, who, if you guys watch this show, you know I am so high on this guy. Of course, there are going to be bumps in the road. Of course, it's early. We haven't seen him, you know, don the green and gold, put the helmet on, and go out and play. But I can't wait to watch him in the preseason. And what they're, you know, and they've already been moving him around. He's been at the linebacker position already. And Brandon is asking, is it true Jones looks like a linebacker? Well, he's going to be a little lighter than a prototypical linebacker. But remember, we had some success last year with Morgan Burnett. And he's 10 pounds heavier than Morgan Burnett. He's faster. And actually, he's 20 pounds. Excuse me, Morgan Burnett's at 209, 210. So he's probably, you know, 10 or more pounds heavier. And like Andrew's saying, the guy likes to hit. Did anybody catch, you know, one of the first things he said in his interview was, I love this game so much, and I hope it shows on the field. That is the kind of safety I want on our team. And I'm not saying we had, you know, in fact, safety was one of the positions I thought we kind of had covered. But if you get a defensive backfield, I love HaHa, I love Morgan Burnett. I love the fact that, though, that we've got a guy in Jones that can get out on the field and cover tight ends. He can drop down kind of as a safety box. We can do a three safety, a big nickel package. And we're actually going to up the ante in terms of being able to cover out of the backfield. And we're also going to be able to let Morgan Burnett drop back or come up in a traditional strong safety position and have that kind of versatility. Now, again, this guy is going to get, he's going to have a tendency to get overloaded. There's going to be a ton for him to learn. He's not going to be Micah Hyde, you know, stepping onto the field, because Micah Hyde was he knew every position inside and out. He's not going to be able to do that quite yet. But heck, I'm a little more positive about Josh Jones learning things the hard way. I got to be honest. Because he's so fast, he's so big, and he's so strong. And I love the kid's attitude. So there will be bumps in the road, without a doubt, if, you know, depending on how much playing time he gets right away. And so there definitely will be struggles. There's going to be bumps in the road. There are going to be hiccups. But I can't wait to see the kid go out there and learn from his mistakes. And now, it looks to me like the comments may have frozen on me. So they're, you know, it's, again, you got another possibility that Facebook's got something going on. They're changing something or whatever. I doubt that, though, with what I'm seeing. Well, Brandon's moving. Pack sack attack. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about. I guess we can step away from the rookies for a moment. Well, maybe it does come down to rookies, because, you know, Vince Beagle, I'm still concerned when we talk about the pack sack attack. I am still concerned a little bit about the linebacker position. Vince Beagle is going to be fine. Don't get me wrong. He had the club on. It sounds like a hyperextension. They're just trying to protect it. Hi, Jim. So he's going to be fine. But it just, you can hardly help but have flashbacks when you see one of our guys wearing a club. You know, Nick Perry wore it last year. We've seen Clay Matthews have injury situations just about every year, or at least the last 3 years. And yes, we want Kyler Fackrell to come on. You know, we've got Jayrone Elliott in the mix. But I am still concerned, because let's say, for example, Clay Matthews, you know, pulls a hammy, has to rest for a couple of weeks. And how confident are we? We're going to then have a rook. Well, we'll probably have Kyler Fackrell, probably, or Jayrone, whoever will be able to take those reps. We'll be solid, but we will lose. I mean, we will probably lose out on pressure to some extent, even though Matthews didn't have that great of a year last year. But then, you know, if one of our guys that we're counting on, I mean, we are counting on Clay Matthews and Nick Perry being healthy at this point, I think. I mean, I think we're depending on them more than we probably should. I mean, yes, we got Vince Beagle in the draft. I was kind of hoping for another guy, but they just honestly, I don't think they were there. And Daniel's asking about Dumervil, and he's, you know, in the mix. He's in the rumor. The rumor mill has him, has his name sort of swirling about right now. So the fact that the rumor is out there gives me some hope, because again, I do think we are thin at that position. And I hate to say thin when we just drafted Vince Beagle, but it has more to do with the guys that we've got that are we're depending on to be our starters, our stars, frankly, the guys that got paid. You know, Clay Matthews makes good money. He makes better than 6.5 sack money. Nick Perry got paid for his 11.5 sacks or 11 sacks, whatever it was. And in the but the question mark is this the Nick Perry we see in 2017, or are we going to see the Nick Perry that was, you know, the guy we saw every other season basically until he finally got healthy for most of, it wasn't all of, 2016. So I am concerned about that. I'm also concerned on the offensive line, not as much about guard. I mean, we signed Jari Evans. We've got Kofi Amicha in the mix. And I think he's key, because the position I'm more concerned about really is, you know, we've got several guys. We know TJ Lang is out of the picture, so somebody has to step up. We know there's a starting spot available. Somebody is going to have to step up and fill that role. It's not, I don't know who exactly that's going to be, but what about the center spot? That's a spot where if someone gets injured, you know, at least at the guard position, we have several, including and hopefully not limited to Don Barkley, that can step in. But if we lose Corey Linsley at the center position, that's probably going to be Don Barkley there, and he is going to have to start at that point. And there's not going to be anybody else to turn to, I don't think. And this, you know, this to me is a major issue. of course, you got to see who takes TJ Lang's place. But it will be interesting to see how Kofi Amicha, you know, steps in there. And he's a guy I believe they're gonna give him plenty of reps in the preseason. I think we'll see him a lot, and he's gonna have to step up. So those are the two places where I actually still have concern. Josh, quit telling people that I need to fix this. Do you not? I mean, I hope the feed doesn't freeze enough for you to listen to what I'm saying. All right. God, quit freaking telling people that I need to fix it when it's not my problem. I'm pissed off enough at Charter as it is. All right, it's Tuesday. It's not Monday. So, but I think in terms of, you know, you got your fourth round pick in Vince Beagle, but I think we are thin there. I think I'm glad that we did pick up Amicha for the offensive line. And I think we're going to be okay, but I am going to be concerned about the whole Linsley situation, because what happens? Well, Andrew is mentioning Spriggs, too, and it will be interesting to watch who they rotate and where they put him and who really turns on, because, you know, Spriggs, to my mind, is tackle, start to finish, top to bottom, prototypical, and it doesn't seem like the coaching staff wants anything to do with any notion of putting him anywhere else. Which is interesting to me, because McCarthy always talks about getting your best five players on the offensive line, get them on the field. And it pains me a bit to think that Jason Spriggs is going to sit and watch another entire season. Does anybody else, you know, anybody with me on that? I mean, it pains me a bit to think about that. I mean, yes, it's great if somebody gets hurt, we've got a guy that can step in. But to my mind, you know, there would be other options out there. I'm kind of surprised that McCarthy hasn't thought more outside of the box. He usually doesn't seem to be the type of coach to sort of put himself in the box. He seems like an outside of the box thinker. I mean, I remember him rolling BJ Raji out on offense for a while. So to me, at least it's not something that in training camp, that right off the bat, you can't test, you can't move the guy around, see what he can do, and get a read on it, you're not going to lose anything. He's a second-year player. But if you end up with him locked in at tackle, you really haven't lost much. It's not like he's gonna lose. What is he gonna lose? A handful of reps here and there, and Jeff's saying he won't sit long. I wonder. Gosh, and you remember a couple years ago when we had to play the Cardinals in the playoffs and how the offensive line was in tatters. And wasn't there, I think it was the same situation. We played the Cardinals right on Christmas Eve or whatever. Hey, Aaron. There is this question mark buzzing that I just can't get over. And this is about the injury bug. And frankly, I know Vince Beagle's going to be fine, but it is disappointing to see a guy have to get all wrapped up and see McCarthy kind of blow the question off, you know, because honestly, he's going to be fine. The coach doesn't want to answer those kinds of questions because they're just protecting his hand. But this injury bug is one of the things with as many rookies as I expect to make contributions this year. You know, it's basically historic fact for the Mike McCarthy era, I think, that these rookies are going to have to see the field. And a lot of that is we have not been able to draft and develop the way I think the coaching staff would like to. And it all comes down to this injury bug. I don't know how they need to fix it. I know it's been thrown around just, you know, clean house and the training staff. It's very interesting. Hey, thanks for sharing, Peter. I appreciate you guys sharing the video. And Daniel is asking, is Doomerville going to be a Packer? Again, that would definitely start to ease my mind a little bit. Because again, I think, you know, Clay Matthews, if he stays healthy, we've got a guy that he can be kicked. He can play inside, outside, upside down. I mean, the guy can play at a Pro Bowl level anywhere on, you know, anywhere behind the line. But it's just, is he going to be available? And there was, in fact, I think Packers.com had a post about availability. Or maybe it was in their insider inbox, the question being asked, how important is availability? It's absolutely critical. I mean, we've seen it. We saw it at the running back position. You know, you lose Eddie Lacy, you lose James Starks. Now you're scrambling. We had what has been rightly termed a revolving door at running back. And now we're going to have a rookie class that is going to be our number two, most likely. You got Aaron Ripkowski in the mix as well. So, I mean, he had to be the feature back. But and that's good. He did a good job, but it's far from ideal. So this injury bug that has just seemed to bite us year in and year out. And again, it's relatively speaking, but seriously, this is an Aaron Rodgers-led team that won a Super Bowl with like 15 players on IR. Luigi, we lose Lacy and Starks and we're scrambling, no pun intended. Darn right. Well played, my friend. But yeah, so it's definitely a rookie class. You know Kevin King is going to be, you know, he's going to contribute early and often. I feel like Josh Jones, without a doubt, is going to contribute early and often. You look at the way this league is going, it's such a passing-based league that to get that sort of big nickel package out on the field could really make a difference for the Packers. We play the Falcons in particular. It could help us a great deal. You know, you have a Kevin King, and then you're able to play that big nickel package, if that's what Dom Capers calls it. I know that's what Fritz Schumer called it years ago. But if you can put a Josh Jones on the field, that may help us. We may have, you know, you have a better shot at beating the Minnesota Vikings, who we struggled against week two last year. And then, of course, you got to bring into the mix the Dallas Cowboys, who have a balanced attack. And boy, did they get one fast. And frankly, I think the guy that the Dallas Cowboys got in Dak Prescott is the guy that was the difference maker for them. We'll see. I expect their line to take a little bit of a step back. I expect our running defense to take a step forward. And remember, we were stellar for the first five games, at least. And Andrew's saying Guyon will be gone. Yeah, I think Guyon, I think Guyon, when he saw the draft and what we did in free agency, he if nothing else, that should be a wake-up call. Yeah, this guy needs to not, you know, this guy needs to get his stuff together. I'm sorry. And frankly, And you can thumbs up if you agree. I think a lot of people think he already should have lost his job anyway. So de facto, bring in some folks that are younger, they're better, and they're going to keep their nose clean, because there you go. Now you're back to availability again. And the guy didn't even get injured. I don't blame a player for getting injured. But, and I know that a lot of these players take the performance-enhancing drugs, etc. But at some point, you just got to realize that, you know, my job is at stake here. And JB thinks he gets his walking papers. And we've seen now, and you guys saw the news about Colt Laerla and how much, and he was seen as a bad seed, and we took a chance on him. We gave him a chance because he had talent. Listen, how many people out there, how many kids out there make mistakes, bad mistakes, when they're college age? It's the year, it's the age of risk-taking behavior. We make mistakes, guys in particular, we're worse at it. That's why the ladies out there have better insurance rates until us guys turn 25. Because we're the risk taker. We take stupid risks. That's in our nature. But how many guys, when they do that, get a chance like Colt did to actually make a team, like Joe Mixon did to make a team? And Tom's mentioned him. The rest of us, we wouldn't have a chance. And I hope Mixon gets his stuff together. You know, I wish the kid well. We'll see him probably, you know, this year out on the field. If he doesn't, you know, pull another stunt. But you know, it's kind of disappointing. And I think that's part of the reason a lot of people were down on Mixon is, number one, this guy would have been treated a lot differently if he wasn't a potential NFL star. So, and Guyon, you know, it's a little different situation, but it's too similar to me. All right. Stay clean, man. I'm with you, Lee. I think organizations understand that it's in especially guys' nature to do that. Atashe is here. No, we did not yet talk about HaHa being, let's go for it. HaHa Clinton Dix being named number 77 on the NFL Top 100 Countdown. I hope you watched the highlights. We talked about him yesterday about how much I love this guy. And he's become a leader this year is what I really love about HaHa. But he does it in, he carries it so lightly. And I love me some HaHa. And you watched him and you watched the big hits he made. You could see the thing that you see. It's interesting because the thing that you see in HaHa's highlights is you can tell he'll make a great play, but you see that it's a losing performance that we are, you see him make a great stick, but he had to make it already, you know, behind the line, the first down was already made. So it was a kind of a bittersweet to see HaHa making those great plays, but isn't that the stuff that we're hoping we got taken care of with Kevin King, with Josh Jones out there. And this is what we're hopeful of with Vince Beagle. Because if we can get, maybe we kick Clay inside, if we can get some inside pressure on Matt Ryan, I think our game changes dramatically. And I think we see those same big plays by HaHa, the interceptions. I mean, the guy's got a nose for the ball. He doesn't have any return ability, and everybody jokes about it. In fact, including HaHa. But I think, and Jim is mentioning too, when we posted on this, you know, that he took, and I think it was King and Jones that he took out to eat. This guy has become a leader. And that is a transition that not everybody can make. And some guys do it in different ways. And I love the way HaHa does it. You'll hear him out there laughing on the field. You can go see him. You can see all the highlights on Packers.com, which is where I go to for those rather than NFL.com. Because I feel like I'm supporting my team more that way. I don't know. But yeah. It's a good, you know, the safety position is one of those that in the draft, and this is part of the reason I blame myself, and we need to learn from this next year is not to overlook the safety position when we feel like the Packers need a cornerback, because we have seen in the past the versatility of guys like Micah Hyde, guys like Morgan Burnett that have been able to do that, and that is part of the reason Jones was overlooked. So now, but the safety position we were looking at, man, we had HaHa and Morgan Burnett. We had Kentrell Bryce that, you know, looked like a big hitter too. Kind of like that kid. And I feel like most of us, at least I know I can say for myself, kind of overlooked the safety position in general. We had our eyes focused on cornerbacks, right? Because of the depth of the draft. And boy, am I glad, and I have to give credit where credit is due, that Ted Thompson did not do the same thing I did and overlook that. He really, he had his eyes on everybody. He picks best player available. I think there was more need mixed into this draft than they let on about. However, there's no question in my mind, you know, that this kid was the best player available to me. So yeah, love, haha, and Morgan Burnett had a good year. And Andrew's mentioning he was playing some pretty good slot corner. Jones has already been moving around. They've had him at linebacker. They'll move him around. The one guy that I am looking at and saying, I'm okay with them not playing the versatility card right away, and that's Kevin King. I would like to see them just hone his skills and say, listen, buddy, we are going to cross-train you. This is basically a cross-training situation, like in a company. You say, listen, we want you to be as valuable for the company as you can be. We want to expand your horizons. We want you to learn new things. We're going to cross-train you here, there, and the other place. But Kevin King is one. I wish that they would put it off until next offseason and just hone his skills. Jason is mentioning the little subtle shot that Jay Cutler took at the Packers when they asked him if, you know, let's say Aaron Rodgers gets hurt and the Packers call you on the phone. He said he'd take a pass on playing for the Packers. I'm assuming that's what the one you were talking about. But you also notice he said, but I don't think they'll call. And that's the fact, is the Packers would never. Although the other side of it is we did have Jim McMahon backing up Favre for a while, didn't we, way back when? Frankly, Cutler, if you think you have a job in the NFL, I think you're a joke. But that was funny, though. It was funny. Number one, to actually assume that he would get the call. And number two, to think that he would turn down an actual winning organization just makes me laugh. So John says, why would we pick up the Bears track? I would say picking up the Bears scat, because they crapped him out too. I mean, he isn't even good enough to make the team, basically. And look at the money that guy made, and now he's going to be in the broadcast. And he had to go to Fox, too. Daniel, we talked about Doomerville. I'm hesitant to say too much, other than I really think it would be a great pickup. I don't think he'd cost too much. I think he's still got a little in the tank. I wouldn't want to compare him to a sort of a Julius Peppers signing, because I don't quite see that. But Andrew says, I don't think Cutler likes football. Andrew wants the psycho package back. Well, yeah, and you know, personnel availability has been dictating for us, guys, and that is a huge part of what happened with the cornerback situation, with the defensive backfield situation in general last year. And that's why, it all comes down to availability. That is why Mike McCarthy is focusing so much on versatility now. And he's feeling that sense of urgency. And guys like Kevin King, where I think if we could develop him, if we could hone his skill as a cornerback and teach him, you know, the ropes as a rookie, and let him begin to make that, to start cross-training in his second year, I think it would be an advantage. I fear that they're not going to feel like they have that kind of time because of the way we end up having to throw these guys in. Number one, we use a lot of DBs. Number two, we lose a lot of DBs. I mean, this is a situation that bothers me right now. I feel very happy. I'm very, very, I think it's a great situation. It's as good a situation as we could have, I think, coming out of the draft this year. But at the same time, in the back of your mind, I know you guys are the same way. In the back of your mind, you're just kind of like, do you do this kind of, I have this kind of math that I do in my head. It's like, well, who's gonna go down, and who can replace him, and how can we do? How far can we go? And it's concerning, to be honest. It's concerning to me. So, but again, it's nothing you can predict. You got to control what you can control. Tyron is asking what should be Green Bay's next big move. And that would be Doomerville to me. Doomerville to the Packers. I'd like to see him in green and gold. Just a hard-nosed player, hard-nosed guy. James is here from Utah. Yeah, we'll probably talk undrafted tomorrow. We're talking about the rookie class, and then this, that, you know, is included in the rookie class. Here's my thing. I'm trying to read it, but it's covered up, so I can't see the rest of the comment. Here's my thing. I don't think the undrafted free agent class is going to have much of an impact this year. I think it's going to have the least impact we've seen in a long time. Man, this could be a Facebook issue because it's goofing up now. But I think this is going to be one of those that we don't see a whole lot of. Honestly, I think Taysom Hill is one of the guys that might have staying power when all said and done, which makes no sense whatsoever in terms of our team needs. But this kid, you know, 230 pounds and he runs like a 4.4. And he's the kind of raw material that I think Mike McCarthy would love to get his hands on. And I would not be surprised if he isn't one of the few. I think, you know, there's always going to be, I would say, two or three at the least I would expect. But I think this is going to be a slender one. And I'll if I can get that comment. And that's why I think that this has to be somewhat Facebook's issue, because it's changed quite a bit. Yeah, my comment stream has completely morphed into something else right now. So, but I'll try and come back to that tomorrow's show. There's some guys out there that are gonna make an impact. They're right now, and the biggest problem right now is they've had rookie orientation. They've not, you know, they're doing nothing right now. This, again, those guys, you know, and the fact of the matter is a lot of these guys aren't even going to make it to the preseason. And that's why, you know, doing too much, I personally think Taysom Hill is incredibly interesting as a prospect. You know, he's got an ugly throwing motion, but that's the kind of raw material I think guys like Coach McCarthy would love. And I guess the comment on that, McCarthy spoke very highly about him and Bauer in terms of the steps they made in the couple days that they worked with them, and he really spoke highly. It jumped off the page in McCarthy's interview, his press conference to me. His talk about the quarterbacks, and again, it's very interesting. Yeah, something's going wrong. We're going to close it up for today. I've had enough of the technical issues, and I'm sure you have too. So we'll close it up for today. We'll talk again tomorrow. I apologize for the technical difficulties once again. But I do think there are a couple of those undrafted will stick. I wouldn't be surprised if one of our quarterbacks doesn't. And I like the idea that Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers get a hold of some real raw talent. Part of the reason, and I'll close the show with this, part of the reason is if we're looking forward to next year and we want to get something out of Brett Hundley, we want to see him play the preseason and stay healthy, then we've got a need at quarterback. So this kid could be a nice, nice pickup. I'll close the show with that, guys. I apologize for the technical difficulties. Tomorrow we'll talk more about the undrafted guys. And there's not going to be a lot. I mean, there's plenty to talk about, but there's not going to be a whole lot of action for a little bit. But I think the vets come in maybe this week, get their pictures taken. It's going to be all cutesy-cutesy stuff for the most part. But we will see if anything happens with Doomerville. And I will see you guys tomorrow, same Pack time, same Pack place. Go Pack.